Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
David had always assumed there would be time. Time for another family dinner, another birthday, another baseball season spent listening to his brother complain about the Cardinals' bullpen. Another phone call asking why his computer had suddenly decided it no longer wanted to cooperate. Mark was only 3 years older, but for as long as David could remember, he had been the one everyone depended on. If something electronic stopped working, the family didn't waste time calling customer support. They called Mark. Computers, phones, wireless networks, televisions, security cameras. It didn't seem to matter what the problem was. Technology came as naturally to him as breathing. He had built a career in information technology, but even after spending all day solving problems for other people, he never seemed to mind helping friends and family. There was a satisfaction he found in figuring things out, and more often than not, the solution turned out to be much simpler than everyone else expected. David used to joke that Mark enjoyed fixing broken computers almost as much as he enjoyed watching Cardinals baseball. Mark had been a Cardinals fan since he was a kid. Every spring brought fresh optimism. Every losing streak came with a detailed explanation of what the team should have done differently. And every season ended with the certainty that next year would be better. His house reflected that lifelong loyalty. A Cardinals cap hung on the coat rack by the back door. Baseball signed by players over the years sat in a glass front cabinet. Coffee mugs, old ticket stubs, and framed photographs quietly reminded visitors where his loyalties belonged. It was one of those things that never changed. Neither, David assumed, would his brother. That illusion disappeared on an ordinary Tuesday afternoon. The phone call came while David was still at work. At first, there wasn't much information, only that Mark had collapsed unexpectedly and had been rushed to the hospital. David drove there trying to convince himself there had to be a reasonable explanation. His brother rarely got sick, exercised often enough to keep his doctor happy, and had never given anyone a reason to think something like this was possible. By the time he reached the emergency department, there was nothing left to explain. The following days blurred together the way they often do after a sudden loss. Relatives arrived from out of town. Meals appeared without anyone remembering who had brought them. Sympathy cards accumulated on the kitchen counter. People shared stories David had never heard before. Times Mark had stayed late to help a coworker, fixed a neighbor's computer without charging a dime, or spent an entire Saturday recovering family photographs from a failed hard drive because he knew how much they meant. Each story sounded exactly like the brother David had known all his life. Accepting that he was gone proved much harder. Because Mark had served in the Army before beginning his career in IT, his wife decided to bury him in a veteran's cemetery a little over an hour from home. The service itself was respectful and beautifully organized, but like many military funerals, it took place near a memorial shelter rather than at the gravesite. The family knew where Mark would eventually be buried, but the permanent marker wouldn't be installed until later. Life gradually settled into a new routine, though it never really felt normal again. David caught himself reaching for his phone more times than he cared to admit. Every so often, a computer at work would freeze or his internet connection would start acting strangely, and his first instinct was still to text Mark before remembering there would never be another reply. It happened often enough that he stopped telling anyone about it. Several months later, Mark's wife made the drive back to the cemetery after the headstone had been installed. She shared a few photographs with the family so everyone could finally see where he had been laid to rest. David studied the pictures longer than he expected. The marker was simple and understated, surrounded by neatly trimmed grass that stretched across the gently rolling hills of the cemetery. An American flag stood beside it, its colors bright against the late spring landscape. He saved one of the photographs to his computer. He wasn't entirely sure why. Perhaps it was because he wanted to remember exactly where Mark was buried. Perhaps it was because looking at the picture somehow felt easier than making the drive himself. Whatever the reason, weeks continued to pass. His sister asked if he had gone yet. He admitted he hadn't. The truth was, he wasn't avoiding the cemetery, at least not intentionally. He simply wasn't sure what he expected to find there. Friends who had lost parents or spouses often talked about feeling close to them while visiting their graves. Some described a sense of peace. Others spoke of feeling as though they weren't really alone. David hoped for something like that, and he just wasn't convinced it would happen. Eventually, on a quiet Saturday morning, he decided it was time. He left before sunrise, stopped once for coffee, and spent most of the drive thinking about everything except where he was headed. The closer he came to the cemetery, the quieter he became. The grounds were even more beautiful than the photographs had suggested. Rows of identical markers stretched across the landscape with remarkable precision, each one cared for with the same attention as the next. There was no traffic noise beyond the distant hum of the highway. No crowds of visitors, only the occasional groundskeeper moving slowly through the property. Finding Mark's grave took only a few minutes. David stood there with his hands in his pockets, reading the inscription several times, although there was nothing on the stone he didn't already know. He remembered teaching Mark to ride a bicycle, then laughed to himself when he realized the memory couldn't possibly be right. Mark was older. It had happened the other way around. Even standing there, his mind insisted on rearranging the past into something easier to live with. Other memories followed. Family vacations, holiday dinners, listening to Cardinals games on the radio while the two of them worked in the garage with their father. Countless phone calls that began with David saying his computer was acting up again. The memories came easily. The connection he had hoped to feel did not. He remained there for nearly half an hour, waiting for something to change. He wasn't looking for anything dramatic. He didn't expect to see a ghost or hear a voice. He only wanted to feel, in some small way, that his brother was still close enough to reach. Instead, the cemetery remained exactly what it had been when he arrived, peaceful, quiet, and beautifully maintained. And when he finally turned toward the parking lot, he carried an unexpected disappointment with him. The visit hadn't been unpleasant, but neither had it brought the comfort he had imagined. He drove home wondering if he had expected too much or if grief simply worked differently than he had hoped. As summer gave way to autumn, that visit became just another memory. David returned to work, watched another Cardinal season come and go, and slowly settled into the routines that had once seemed impossible without his brother in them. He believed the cemetery visit had been the last step he needed to take. He had no reason to think otherwise. If Mark had wanted to get his brother's attention one more time, he certainly wouldn't have chosen a place as quiet as a cemetery. He would have used something he understood far better than anyone else ever could. Autumn settled in quietly, bringing shorter days and cooler evenings. David found himself slipping back into the routines that had once seemed impossible after Mark's death. Work kept him occupied during the day, and by the time he got home each evening, there was usually enough to do that he didn't spend much time dwelling on what was missing. Grief, he was learning, wasn't something that disappeared. It simply became less demanding. Some days he hardly thought about his brother at all, while on others, the smallest reminder was enough to stop him in his tracks. A Cardinal score scrolling across the television, a commercial for a new smartphone, or even an unfamiliar error message on his computer could unexpectedly pull Mark back into his thoughts. His phone was the hardest thing to get used to. Mark's name still appeared in his contacts, and David couldn't bring himself to remove it. Their old text conversation remained exactly where it had always been, buried among dozens of other message threads. Every once in a while, he would scroll back through it, smiling at some forgotten joke or a picture Mark had sent years earlier, after finally getting one of David's stubborn laptops working again. He never added another message. There didn't seem to be much point. One Wednesday evening, several weeks after his visit to the cemetery, David settled into his recliner with a baseball game on television. The Cardinals weren't playing particularly well, and he caught himself wondering what Mark would have been saying about the manager's decisions. Smiling to himself, he reached for the remote to lower the volume before heading into the kitchen for another cup of coffee. His phone buzzed on the end table. He glanced at the screen without much interest, expecting an email or another news alert. Instead, he stopped in his tracks. At the top of the screen was Mark's name. For a moment, David simply stared, convinced he had misread what he was seeing. The notification clearly showed their old text conversation, and beneath Mark's name it stated that one new message had been received. His first thought wasn't that something paranormal had happened, it was that his phone had malfunctioned. He picked it up so quickly he nearly knocked his coffee onto the carpet and immediately opened the conversation. There was nothing there. The last message remained exactly where it had always been, sent months before Mark died. It was a simple reminder that he would stop by Saturday afternoon to look at David's computer if it was still giving him problems. There was no unread text, no typing indicator, no strange symbols, and no explanation for the notification that had appeared only seconds earlier. David closed the conversation and returned to the list of recent texts. Mark's name had already disappeared from the top, and the conversation had slipped back to its usual place farther down the screen, as though the notification had never existed. He opened the thread again, then closed it and opened it a second time, hoping something would change. Nothing did. He briefly considered whether someone might have gained access to Mark's old phone, but that made no sense. The service had been disconnected shortly after the funeral. A software glitch seemed like the only reasonable explanation, so he restarted his phone and waited for it to power back on. When the screen lit up again, he opened the messaging app. Everything looked exactly as it always had. The phantom notification was gone. For the next half hour, David searched online, convinced someone else had experienced the same thing. He found discussions about delayed notifications, duplicate alerts, software updates, and messages arriving hours after they had been sent. Modern phones, it seemed, could behave in all sorts of unpredictable ways. Yet none of those explanations matched what had just happened. His phone hadn't rediscovered an old notification or displayed a delayed message. It had announced a brand new text that vanished the moment he opened the conversation. By the time he finally went to bed, David had talked himself into believing it was simply another strange quirk of modern technology. Even Mark used to say computers weren't perfect, and phones certainly weren't immune to the occasional glitch. That explanation should have been enough. It wasn't. Driving to work the following morning, he found himself replaying the moment over and over. He could still picture Mark's name appearing on the screen and remember the surge of adrenaline that followed. For one impossible second, it had felt as though someone who had been gone for months was trying to reach him. The memory stayed with him throughout the day and lingered well into the weekend. He tried to dismiss it every time it resurfaced, reminding himself that strange things happened with technology all the time. Mark would probably have laughed at the idea that one unexplained notification proved anything at all. He had spent his entire career solving electronic mysteries, and he almost always found an ordinary explanation in the end. If anyone would have understood what had happened, it would have been Mark. As the days passed, David realized he had stopped thinking about the notification itself. Instead, his thoughts kept returning to the cemetery. It wasn't the disappointment of his first visit that occupied his mind anymore. It was the growing feeling that the notification hadn't appeared by accident. He still wasn't ready to call it paranormal, and he argued with himself every time the possibility crossed his mind. Phones glitched, apps malfunctioned, notifications appeared when they shouldn't. Even so, one thought refused to leave him. If there had been one person capable of finding an unexpected way to get someone's attention, it would have been his brother. By Sunday evening, David quietly decided he would make the drive back to the cemetery the following Saturday. He wasn't expecting another miracle, and he certainly wasn't expecting answers. He only knew there was one question he could no longer ignore. If the notification had meant anything at all, perhaps his first visit hadn't been the one Mark wanted him to remember. Saturday arrived with clear skies and the kind of crisp autumn air that made even a long drive feel enjoyable. David left the house just after sunrise, following the same route he had taken only weeks earlier. The difference this time was that he wasn't chasing an expectation. During his first visit, he had quietly hoped for some unmistakable feeling that would reassure him his brother was somehow still nearby. When that never came, he had gone home disappointed, convinced he had expected too much. Now he wasn't looking for proof. If the strange text notification had been nothing more than a software glitch, then another trip to the cemetery wouldn't change that. If it had been something else, whatever message it carried had already accomplished its purpose. It had gotten him back in the car. The cemetery looked much the same as it had before. The grass had turned a deeper shade of green after several days of rain, and a few trees along the edge of the property had begun showing hints of orange and gold. A groundskeeper worked quietly in the distance, and only a handful of visitors were scattered throughout the rolling hills. David found Mark's grave without needing to look at the map, and this time, he didn't stand there waiting for something to happen. He simply sat down on a nearby bench and looked across the rows of markers stretching in every direction. Every stone represented a life that had once been as full and ordinary as his brother's. People who had laughed, argued, raised families, worried about work, made plans for retirement, and assumed there would always be another tomorrow. After several minutes, he found himself smiling. Not because he suddenly felt better, but because his thoughts had drifted away from hospitals and funerals and settled on memories that had been buried beneath his grief. He remembered Mark spending an entire Thanksgiving afternoon trying to rescue family pictures from a computer everyone else had declared beyond saving. He remembered the good-natured arguments over baseball, the annual prediction that this would finally be the Cardinals' year, and the way Mark never let anyone leave his house with a broken phone or malfunctioning laptop. Those were the memories he wanted to keep. For the first time since his brother's death, David realized he wasn't standing beside a reminder of how Mark had died. He was sitting beside a reminder of how he had lived. The thought stayed with him for a long time. Eventually, he stood, brushed a few leaves from his jeans, and rested a hand lightly on the top of the granite marker. There was nothing formal about the moment. He didn't make a speech or search for the perfect words. Instead, he quietly thanked his brother for everything he had done through the years, including countless little things that had seemed ordinary at the time but had become priceless in hindsight. He apologized for taking so long to come back. Then, feeling strangely lighter than he had in months, he turned toward the parking lot. He had taken only a few steps when a flash of red caught his attention. A cardinal landed on the grass only a few feet from Mark's grave. David stopped walking. The bird wasn't doing anything remarkable. It simply hopped once, tilted its head as though studying the quiet visitor, and settled onto the top edge of the marker for a brief moment before fluttering to a nearby branch, and he couldn't help but laugh. Of all the birds that might have appeared that morning, it had to be a cardinal. Mark would have appreciated the irony more than anyone. David had heard people claim that cardinals were signs from loved ones who had passed on, but that wasn't where his mind went. He wasn't thinking about folklore or trying to convince himself he had witnessed something supernatural. He was thinking about the brother who had spent a lifetime cheering for the Cardinals, who wore red every opening day, and who never missed an opportunity to remind everyone that baseball season was never truly over until spring training began again. Whether the bird meant anything beyond that, David couldn't say. He didn't have to. As he watched it disappear into the trees, he realized something had changed, though not in the way he had expected during his first visit. Peace hadn't arrived as a sudden wave of emotion or through some unmistakable sign from the other side. It had come quietly after he stopped trying so hard to find it. The mysterious notification on his phone never appeared again. He checked the old text conversation from time to time, but no new messages ever arrived. Eventually, he stopped searching for explanations. There were countless things about technology that even experts couldn't fully explain, and there were just as many things about love and loss that seemed to resist easy answers. David never told many people about the notification. He knew exactly how it sounded, and he understood why most would dismiss it as an electronic glitch that happened at exactly the wrong, or perhaps the right, moment. He never argued with them. Maybe they were right. But whenever someone asked him what finally brought him peace after losing his brother, he never talked about software bugs or mysterious notifications. He simply smiled, thought about a lifelong Cardinals fan who had always found a way to solve impossible problems, and remembered the quiet morning when one small red bird appeared just long enough to make him feel that the conversation between two brothers hadn't ended after all.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.